So I was going to preach or teach another sermon that I've taught before, but I said, no, I'll bring that another week. Let me go with the Job. There's so much here in the book of Job. There's so much to, so we're in Job chapter 37. And, where is it? Let's see. Job chapter 37. And I got through a few verses. Amen.
Amen.
That's all I got through. So, I think we'll get through 8 verses today. In our part 41, chapter 37, as we start this, book. Again, this is Elihu. This is going to be his last chapter, before God speaks. So, I think it's a pretty good thing is after you, when you get done speaking, God begins to speak and he says everything that you said plus more. So I think Elihu is in, that we can take Elihu that he's a positive character in the book, not an antagonist, as some would have it be. last week we ended with, Job chapter 36, the last verse. Elihu was talking about, God thundering. And he picks up in chapter 37, verse 1, and we read, "At this also my heart trembles and leaps from its place." What makes Elihu's heart tremble and leap from its place? Well, verse 2, he says, "He hear attentively the thunder of his voice." So now Elihu is turning again. He's continuing, rather, with God's creation. And I always like to say, if you can't endure what God has created, you certainly cannot endure him. And, all of us remember as little children of being in a storm and a clap of thunder would come by and shake the living daylights out of you, make you want to run for cover or lightning striking something. So Elihu continues with God's creation. He says, "Hear attentively the thunder of his voice and the rumbling that comes from his mouth." So he's personifying, this thunder. He sees it, he sends it forth, rather, under the whole heaven, his lightning to the ends of the earth. After it, a voice roars. He thunders with his majestic voice, and he does not restrain them when his voice is heard. God thunders marvelously with his voice. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. So here we see him mention a number of times thunder. And thunder in the scriptures is often coupled with the voice of God. Okay? Thunder in the scriptures is often coupled with the voice of God. The implication being not that it's literally God's voice, but it's an audible revelation of his power. It's an audible revelation of God's power, and in some rare cases, a response from heaven with the voice of God. Amen. So that's what we see in scripture, right? So in Psalms 87, for instance, Psalm 81, verse 7, we read, "You called in trouble." This is God speaking. "You called in trouble and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder." So the people cried out and God said, "I responded with thunder." So here we see it's an audible revelation of God's power. Here is not being mentioned as his voice, but an audible revelation of God's power, right? So we have our five senses, right? This one, deals with or is revealed through the audible senses, right? Where we can hear. That's what thunder, lightning with the visible, with our eyes or the visible senses. So, but here, this is a response from heaven. You called, I answered. So we see that. But also, we see in the New Testament where it is likened unto the voice of God. Indeed, it was the voice of God. Now, this doesn't happen often, but we see this. John chapter 12, verse 28. "Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again." This is John chapter 12 where Jesus said, "Father, glorify thy name." And a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Now that was a voice. But verse 29 says, therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. In other words, they couldn't discern that it was a voice, that it was the voice of God. Now, Jesus knew it was his Father's voice, but the people did not know it was God's voice. So here we see thunder and the voice of God is the same thing. So God can commandeer thunder to speak through it in the earth, right? This is a rare case. Others said an angel spoke to him. So in either case, they could not discern who it was that spoke or what it was he said, right? So John, by revelation, tells us that it was the Father speaking to the Son. So those are rare instances. Obviously, we have storms every day around the globe, and it's thundering and lightning, and God is not speaking through every clap of thunder that happens around the globe every day. Not specifically. He's not speaking specifically to the Son as in this case. But is he speaking? Oh, yes. In every clap of thunder, yes, he is speaking generally to mankind. Observe my power. I exist. I am God. Oh, yes. That is definitely the case. And we should not belittle that in the least, especially as God's people. We shouldn't belittle it, because it reveals or magnifies and shows God's power. That's why Elihu is mentioning this to Job. He said, my heart trembles and leaps in its place when I hear the thunder of his voice. You know, and he's talking to Job and says, Job, what's wrong with you? How come you done your heart leap? Right? So this is why he's going into this as he speaks for God. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 17, this is again a response where God he thunders in response to the cry of his people. He's not speaking through his voice specifically to the people, but it is the audible revelation of his power. Is today not wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great. What was their wickedness? Israel asked for a king when they already had God as their king. And so God was going to send thunder and lightning to show them that their great sin, which you have done in the sight of the Lord in asking a king for yourselves. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. You say, well, it's not a big thing when it thunders and rain. Yeah. Except for when it's bright, shining sun outside, and someone prays and says, Lord, send thunder and rain, and thunder and rain comes. Yeah, that's a big deal. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. So the Lord, he sent this audible, again, revelation of himself in response to a cry, a prayer from Samuel. Why is this? Well, why is this audible revelation? Why do we have God? And I see it as everything God makes, he is to an extent revealed therein. In other words, God is revealed in creation. His power, Romans 1, is made known by the things that he created. Right? That's why we read in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. You look up at the heavens, what I love about walking. I'm constantly looking up at the sky. I can't get enough of it. How vast it is, how big it is. And every day God gives us a different heaven. He gives us clouds in a different place. Moment by moment, everything. And I'm sure we take it all for granted. You spend time outside looking at it. The wonder of what God has created. It's beautiful. The birds, the audible, the birds are chirping, the trees. I was walking yesterday and I was getting tired and gravity was pulling me down. And I'm like, and I looked at a tree and this big old tree. I'm like, well, wait a second. Isn't gravity pulling that tree? Yeah, but the tree keeps the tree has its arms up giving glory to God. Tree doesn't get tired. God didn't make the tree to get tired. The tree up there, big old, beautiful tree. I'm looking at that tree. I'm like, oh, God, you made that tree. Look at that tree. The tree is so beautiful. How does it stay up like that? Because I'm having troubles. But the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the works of his hands. And you know, we get up every day and we go on our way and we act like, no, what I'm doing is the most important thing. No, I got news for you. See, no, it's not. No, what God has done is the most important. What God has done, we need to look at and take in. Yes, because God is the one who can, while we're on our way to what we're going to do, God said, no, that's not happening today. Hello. Yeah. So verse 2, he says, day after day, they pour forth speech. What is that? What is the psalmist saying? Day after day, the heavens, the firmament are teaching us. They're speaking to us. What are they speaking? They're speaking to us about the glory of their creator, of God. Now, man poo-poos it. Man don't pay no attention to it. Man takes it for granted. Man was, you know, people cussing for us when it rained and snow and everything. I'm like, look, you ought not do that. You ought to humble yourself. Because, you know, Elihu's point in bringing all this up is simply this. Job, you don't control the thunder. You don't control the lightning, the weather. You don't control anything. And the one that you're talking to, he does. So humble yourself, Job. Put your hand over your mouth and be quiet. This is what he's trying to... Creation is speaking to us every day. What did verse 3 say? Oh, sorry. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Do you know that astrophysicists, night after night, have been displaying knowledge? And the physicists are trying to make sense of it. They've been trying to make sense of it for as long as they've been here. They've been looking up at the heavens. What does that mean? The JWST, the James Webb Space Telescope, done messed them way up. I mean, it done messed them up. They should have been like, no, that should not be like that. Here's a creation telling the creator, they're like, why is that not making any sense? God said, oh yeah, there's so much more knowledge. Look, there's so much more. All of our scientific advances. All of our telescopes. Not only can we see way out there, we can see way in here, and we still can't make sense of it. We're still trying to put it all together. We can't make sense of it. The psalmist said this over, 3,000 years ago, there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Now he's personifying the created order, their voice. In other words, what the creation is telling us about God is heard in every language. There's no person. In other words, every person who has been created, every person who's born has seen the glory of God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, because there's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Yeah. And so Elihu is telling Job, creation is speaking to us about his glory, about his majesty. Therefore, you should put your hand over your mouth and humble yourself, right? All right. Now, what's interesting is, where are we? This thunder here will be a part of the whirlwind, because a whirlwind is a storm. When we get to whirlwind, I'll break it all down. But this thunder will be a part of the whirlwind out of which God would speak to Job in the next chapter. Okay? So where we heard God's voice speaking as thunder, the people perceived it as thunder to Jesus in John, we saw that here. Where we see this here, Job 38, I'll show it to you in a second, it says that God spoke to Job out of the whirlwind. Ah, yeah, that's, my goodness, how frightening that must have been. So, Job been running his mouth, God said, okay, here I come. Okay, let me show you what Psalm 77 says. The voice of your thunder. So here we see thunder and the voice of God often together in scripture. So Psalm 77:18 says, the voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. So thunder is in the whirlwind. The voice of God spoke through it. The lightnings light up the world. The earth trembled and shook. So what the psalmist is saying is what Elihu said. He says, my heart trembled and shook when I hear the voice of his thunder. Well, here's the psalmist is saying this, hundreds, if not thousand years later, after Job. But notice this, where he says, the voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Job 38:1 says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. Out of the whirlwind. My goodness. So if the psalmist says the voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind, you could hear the voice of God in the whirlwind. Well, the Lord then talked to Job out of the whirlwind. Oh, my goodness. Now, sorry, but I do not believe it was enjoyable for Job when God spoke to him from the whirlwind. When God spoke to him from a storm, I don't believe it was enjoyable for Job. Now, you have to remember, Job had been going on and on and on, and Job wasn't the only one that God spoke to through a whirlwind. Seems like I remember a prophet named Jonah. He gonna go run away, and the captain of the ship said, hey, wake up, sleeper. What you doing? Sleeping. We fixing to die. And you over here sleep. Boy, get up and call on your God. God sent a storm. He sent a wind that caused a storm to come on the sea. And God was speaking through Jonah too. Because when they threw Jonah into the sea, immediately the storm subsided. And all the men were afraid, said, oh yeah, this was God. God did this. Does God speak through storms, through the whirlwind today? Does he? Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Do people listen? Well, sometimes. Sometimes they don't. I remember reading an article of a 22-year-old girl. She was a diver. She was practicing for the Olympics. And she went diving during a storm. It wasn't a good, wasn't the optimal time to be diving. And so she lifted her hands. She's up on the cliff, lifted her hands to dive off the cliff, and bolt the lightning came down, struck her and killed her. I thought, great day in the morning. You know, sometimes when the weather tells you to get inside, you know, humble yourself and stop what you're doing. You should listen. You should listen to that.
Amen.
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 God created it that way. God created it. He was speaking through the weather. Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. And he's going to speak through his created order, through his weather. He's going to speak to it to Job. And when God got done speaking, Job said, no, I'm done. Shut up. I ain't got to do no. God said, no, you were talking. Stand up, talk now. Job was like, his insides turned to jello. I mean, he had nothing left. Job didn't have. And if God were to reveal himself, my Lord Jesus, you know, the book of Revelation said his eyes were like lightning. There was a description of an angel in the book of Ezekiel. Bro, look, if I saw that, Daniel said he said his frailty, he fell over as a dead man. If I was seeing what Daniel saw, oh, I've been running. No. I mean, listen, God is awesome. He is awesome beyond description. And for Job to be, and for us to be talking like Job was talking, well, God, I can't. Well, you can't. Believe it. Believe it. Humble yourself. Shut up. Be quiet. Cry out to God. Father, have mercy on me. Oh, my God, it's me, oh, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You don't have anything to say, negative to say about what God. Praise him in all of his doings. Amen?
Amen.
So, let me ask you a question. Would you like God to speak to you from a thunderous whirlwind? How would you like? Say, no.
No.
I'm not here for that. Don't, please. No, I mean, here we are in the New Testament. We got the grace. Look, and this is why when people turn away Jesus, you don't know what you're turning away. Oh, my goodness. He sent his son, clothed him in flesh, and sent him to die in weakness, and he died for us. If you reject that, guess what you get? This is what you get. You get the thunder, you get the lightning, you get the stuff going to tear you apart. No, you can't endure it. The Philistines couldn't. First Samuel chapter 7, we read verse 10. Now, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. This is what the thunder was so intense that the warriors, the men of battle, soldiers, hardened soldiers, got so confused that they couldn't even use their weapons. And Israel overthrew them. That's what God did through thunder. Okay? Now, to our knowledge, thunder isn't deadly, right? But lightning is.
Amen.
I'm trying to deal with this. It says here, I'm going in order of saying, so he mentions thunder, right? He sends the thunder under the whole heaven. Then he sends his lightning to the ends of the earth. Now, thunder doesn't kill, but lightning does.
Yes.
Here, God is revealing himself through his created order. This is what he has made. This is not him saying to myself, if you can't deal with what God has made, you're going to stand before him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand? Man is different. Man, I mean, if God doesn't save us, bro, man, there's no existence. I mean, it's
man. Yeah.
Because God is a consuming spirit. He's the consuming spirit. And there should be a godly fear, even in New Testament saints, a godly fear of a holy God. Mm-hmm. Amen? Who is a consuming spirit. Psalm 78. He also gave up their cattle to the hail, and their flocks to fiery lightning. In other words, God used lightning against the Egyptians, and he killed their cattle with it. Yeah, God did that. If you want to see what it looks like, there's a video on YouTube of these cattle grazing in the field, and the lightning just hits, this cattle just stiffens up, falls over, gone. I mean, just like that. It was gone.
Yeah.
Random lightning just struck. And I'm like, my goodness. Yeah, that's what God does with his creation. Now, we're not talking about him, okay? We're talking about his creation. A few quick facts about lightning. From 2006 to 2021, through 2021, there were 444 lightning strike deaths in the United States. In other words, 44 people were struck by lightning and killed. Many more people were struck and not killed. Because 90% of the people who get struck by lightning survive. So when it says 444 people were struck from 2006 through 2021, many more were actually struck by lightning but didn't die. Males, listen up, men. Males are 4 times more likely than females to be struck by lightning. And all the women say, hey. No, that's all the women said. Now be humble, honey. Be humble, honey.
Amen.
Males are 4 times more likely than females to be struck by lightning. I wonder why.
That's what I said.
Or he did not.
The average age of a person struck by lightning, this is from the CDC, by the way, Center for Disease Control. The average age of a person struck by lightning is 37 years. So I just want you to know, all of us, we in pretty good stead. Amen.
Amen.
Oh. All right, and one more. About one third of lightning injuries occur indoors. About one third of lightning injuries occur in. So stay out the shower. You remember how the old folks used to tell you, sit down and shut up while God's talking. They would tell you, turn the game off, turn TV off, we all sit in the dark. This way, wasn't that right, honey? Isn't that right? That's the way it works. You turn the TV off, turn off all electronics, sit down and be quiet. Humble yourself. They would say, they said, be quiet while God is talking. And when you're young, you listen to the old folks. You know, you sit there and say, okay, I'm going to be quiet because God might hit me.
Amen.
You know, my grandmother was struck. She was struck twice by lightning.
Yeah.
Twice. The lightning came through the living room window and danced on the coffee table. I was like, mm-mm. Lord Jesus. Mm. Oh, yes. All right. So, what does Psalm 135 says? He causes his vapors. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings the wind out of his treasuries. So just as no one can control thunder and lightning, no one can withstand God. Elihu is communicating to Job. And Job he been saying a whole lot for a long time. And Elihu's saying, Job, you're wrong. You need to consider this. So when I was studying for my Master of Ministry class years ago, I had to read a book called Blame It on the Rain. It was a book written by an unbeliever, but it was about weather events that changed the course of human history. The author did not imply that God was at work, but I know who's sovereign over the weather and even sovereign over Satan when he uses the weather for his evil purposes. God was sovereign over the weather that took Job's livestock, but God let it happen. Remember, God gave Satan permission. He said, go ahead, do what you're going to do. But remember, God gave him permission. God was sovereign over all that Satan would do with the weather. That's why when there rose a storm on the sea of Galilee with Jesus' disciples, people said, if God's sovereign over weather, how come Jesus rebuking the weather? Well, because Satan had started this. And even if he hadn't, whatever God has determined to be, God can reverse it anytime he wants to. God can stop it. While he spoke to the storm, he said, peace, be still. And there was a great calm, the Bible says. See, God can intervene. He can step into this world and affect anything anytime he gets ready to.
Amen.
Why? Because he makes the lightning for the rain. Huh? He brings the wind out of his treasure. I mean, this is so, all the Bible is full. This is why I only got through a few verses. And I'm not bringing it all that I could. I mean, the Bible's replete. It is just from cover to cover. It's talking about God and his majesty in creation. So, let me mention this. General George Washington, the Revolutionary War? Yeah. He was given control of this Potomac army, and he was outmanned and outgunned in the Battle of Long Island, but a thick fog rolled in. All of a sudden, right when they were about to be overwhelmed by the enemy, a thick fog rolled in, and they were able to retreat and get away from, was it Cornwallis or whoever it was, who was bearing down on them. They were able to escape. Interesting that fog came in right about that time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They said if that fog wouldn't roll in, we'd be drinking tea and eating crumpets. That tickled me. Yeah, we'd be drinking tea and eating because it would have. Because the Revolutionary War would have turned out vastly different. Amen.
Amen.
So finally, God's works are so great. And this is, I didn't have time to get into this. I wanted to, but I was like, man, we'll be here. This last verse, he does great things which we cannot comprehend. It's the God we serve. He does great things which we cannot comprehend. One day I was sitting in D.C. waiting for a job, listening at the birds chirp and everything, had my windows down, thinking about God, and the thought crossed my mind about how awesome God is. You know, all the things, you know, back in the day, what was the earliest 20th century? Maybe late 19th century, they found out about the subatomic world. And they see these atoms, and there's electrons and neutrons and protons. And the thought crossed my mind, God knows where every atom is in the universe. He knows where every last one of them is. I was like, and I was trying to process this thought. And I was looking at the leaves of the tree. God knows every atom and every leaf that falls. God knows. I was like, And my mind was, it was like, my mind couldn't contain it. My mind couldn't wrap itself around it because of how awesome God is. So even in 2024, with all of our knowledge and our science, we still cannot comprehend. They found out, you know, now in atoms, there are subatomic particles, but not only that, that the electrons, protons, and neutrons, there are smaller particles than that. Like, you know, I had been away from chemistry. I was studying to be a chemical engineer. That's what I was studying before I got saved. I had been away from chemistry for a while, subatomic, and I found out there's quarks and gluons, and they got all these different names. And I'm like, remember, there were protons, neutrons, electrons. Now they're talking about neutrinos. And well, what it is that man keeps finding out about God's creation that he didn't even know was there. And guess what? There's more besides neutrinos, and there's more besides that. Man will never, will they ever get to the bottom of? I doubt it. Just like the James Webb Space Telescope, finding all these things. They said they found the farthest universe that has ever been. They found that. And then they found another one. They said, these things shouldn't be. The universe shouldn't be like this. And I'm like, yo, you find out he's a mighty God. He's an awesome
Amen. Being.
That's who he is.
Amen.
Excuse me. Now, Job knew none of this. Like, he didn't have to. There was enough he didn't know, and Elihu was bringing it to him. All right. So let me get to, okay, this is where we end here. Elihu continues, for he says to the snow, fall on the earth, likewise to the gentle rain and the heavy rain of his strength. He seals the hand of every man that all men may know his work. The beasts go into their dens and remain in their lairs. All right. So Elihu mentions that God causes the snow to fall. God would ask Job about the snow later. God's talking to Job. Job's like, wait, Elihu just said that. Who was this fella here? I like the joke. He said all of this, for he says to the snow, God is responsible for the snow. He causes it to fall on the earth. In Psalm 147, we are told to praise God because he gives snow. And yet we take the weather, we take all of creation for granted. When it's snow, people fussing and cussing about they can't go here, there, and the other way. And invariably, a Route 7 good for it, you see somebody turned over on their hood. I mean, it's like every time they tell you, no, I gotta go get me a donut from 7-Eleven. And I mean, it's just, but Psalm 147, where to praise God for the snow?
Amen.
In 1942, Hitler decided he's gonna invade Russia. This is what my book on the things, the events that change, the course of human history. This is in that book. He decided he's going to do a military operation in Germany. And they said this was part of what ended World War II. Was that he run up in Germany, but the one thing he forgot about the Russian winters. They said where it gets to a minus 40 degrees, and I thought I saw Celsius. So I was like, for real? Celsius? Minus 40 degrees Celsius. He goes in there with 600,000 soldiers. 450,000 of them died in the cold, in the snow, in Russia. I said 450,000. 150,000 made it out. He went in with 600,000. I was like, Lord Jesus, my goodness. But see, God sends the snow. God sends the snow. Napoleon in 1812, he went into, I'm sorry, it was 100,000 soldiers who died under Hitler in Russia. It was Napoleon in 1812 who went in with 600,000 soldiers and 450,000 soldiers froze to death or starved in the harsh Russian winter. Mm. All of the snow. King Charles the 12th did it in the 1700s, and he got defeated because of the harsh snow winters in Russia. Psalm 147 says, he cast out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? It can get so cold, bro, it'll break you. You can be like, wait a second. Oh, no. Oh, I can't. No, we ain't here for this. It's like, that, who can endure it? Nobody. That's what the psalmist said way back then. It seemed like Hitler would have read this, would have learned something. But then it goes on and says, he seals up the hand of every man. Where is it? He seals up the hand of every man. What does it mean? God brings man's work to a halt. He seals up what you're doing with your hands, that all men may know his work. God is sovereign. God is sovereign over when we work and when we rest. And he's sovereign over more ways than one. He made us to go to sleep every night. Guess what? You don't work if you don't rest. And Jack, you're going to rest. After a few bad nights, if you have a few nights where you didn't sleep good, hang in there, because a good night of sleep is coming. Because if you had a few bad nights of sleep, guess what? That night coming where you're gonna, why? Because your body said, oh no, I must rest. I must sleep. That's the way God made it.
Amen.
God does not sleep, nor does he slumber.
Amen.
He's eternally strong. What you talking about? Man, God is nobody like him, right?
Amen.
So he seals up the hand of every man. He tells us, when we're going to go to work, even the beasts go into their dens and remains in their lairs when the snow falls and says, look, it's time to stop. It's time for you to halt what you're doing. One of the most memorable times I can remember without children was when I had to stay home because of the snow one year. We had bought them some games for Christmas. We had bought a table where it is air hockey. Oh my goodness, man. When it snowed so much that we didn't have church that day. We didn't have our Catholic church. Man, we got up. Daphne cooked the pancakes. She was in there cooking pancakes, bacon. She was in there. He tore it just there. I mean, they were little. but we were playing air hockey. We keep playing air hockey all day long. I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget that day. And God made that day happen because the snow was so much, we couldn't go anywhere. Couldn't go to work. Couldn't go to church. Couldn't go anywhere. You say, will God do something to keep you out of church?
All right now.
Yeah.
This will be
done. Sometimes you need to stay home. And God will let you know when. We need to hear God when he says stay put.
That's right.
We need to hear God when he says stay put. So, all right, back here. Where is it? Okay, he says here, he talks about the snow, and he says, likewise, the gentle rain. Let me deal with the wind next. I think I get to deal with the wind next week, but he says here, likewise, the gentle rain. And as soon as he mentioned rain, come on now. You had to think of Noah's Ark, right? You had to think of, because we have to remember this, that before any plant of the field was in the earth, And before any herb of the field had grown, let's see, that God commanded all of those to be made. But it says this, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, for there was no man to till the ground.
Hmm.
The Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth. God causes it to rain and he causes it not to rain. Here, God had not caused it to rain on the earth. Right? Mm-hmm. So the people didn't know what rain was.
Mm.
Huh? At this time, they did not know what rain was. Even in Noah's day, they didn't know. They had dew. A mist came up from the ground and watered the plants of the field. Right? But that it had not rained on the earth. So, but in Genesis 7:4, we read, for after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now, this was unique. God was going to cause it to rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. You know, when people say, I can't believe God did that, he's not fair. I remind people, everything that we have belongs to him.
Amen.
Everything here is his.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. What would you think if I walked up to you and grabbed the soda you were drinking out your hand and drunk it myself? Wouldn't you be upset? You say, hey, that's mine. Well, the fact of the matter is, really, it ain't. Okay.
Amen.
Everything that here belongs, he can do with it whatever he pleases. If he pleases to save us, oh my Lord Jesus, I magnify you each.
And amen.
You didn't have to save me. You did not have to save me. But he saved us. Oh my
amen.
Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Who's so, telling Job and us? He's telling us God is in the daily weather, for he created it all.
Yes, he did. Yes,
he is. For he created it all. All right. Look at what Amos said. I also withheld rain from you when there were still 3 months to the harvest. I made it rain on one city. I withheld rain from another city. Oh,
mm-hmm.
You mean God makes it rain and he makes it not rain? Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Is that every time going on? I don't know. This was a specific instance where God said, I made it rain on one city, I made it not rain on another. But then he can step into the ordinary of events of the weather and cause it to rain and not rain according to his will.
Mm-hmm.
But this ecosystem that we have, this environmental system we have, it's going on the way he created it to. Right?
That's right. He created.
And where it did not rain, the part withered. So 2 or 3 cities wander to another city to drink water. Makes me wonder about the Colorado drought, where it's been drought up there for a while.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They were not satisfied this yet. You have not returned to me, says the Lord. In other words, God was doing what he was doing in order to turn the people to himself.
Mm-hmm.
But they had not turned to him. So God can cause it to rain and not rain in order to get people's attention and cause them to repent. That's where 2 Chronicles 7:14 that we quote all the time. That's what Solomon was saying to God. He says, Hey, if we sin and you withhold the rain. He said, if your people, my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will give them the sin, heal their land. He would cause it to go forth, right? That's where that comes from. So God was speaking to his people through the weather. He was using it to bring about repentance on the part of his people in the Old Testament. But since the scientific revolution, people no longer believe in God.
Hmm.
They no longer believe that God is sovereign over the weather. Now, people used to believe that. People used to believe, hey, God's speaking to you. He's talking to you. But since the scientific revolution now, because we understand the lightning, there's a magnetic field around the earth, and the inside, the core of the earth is liquid creating a magnetic field, and there's all this, and the thunder the lightning, let's see, the lightning causes the thunder or vice versa, whatever. And so now we understand it all, so we don't need God. We understand it. We have all this knowledge. Or do we?
Not.
Or do we? I think.
No.
Just because you understand how it works does not negate the hand of the one who guides all of these things.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. And in the last days, I'm going to close with this. In the last of the last days, we read in the book of Revelation that God will show again openly to all the people that he's Lord over the earth and he's Lord over all the weather. Look at this. Revelation chapter 11, verse 6. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. The God who caused it not to rain in the book of Genesis is the God who was working through his messengers, through his prophets, to cause it to not rain in the book of Revelation.
Man.
He's still the God of heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm.
And Job is receiving the teaching of his life from Elihu. Elihu is saying, no, Job, God brings the gentle rain. He brings, where is it? It says he brings the gentle rain and the heavy rain of his strength. He's Lord over it all. Over the snow, the lightning, the thunder, the rain, the fog, you name it. Tsunamis, he's Lord over it all. And Elihu, what we learn from his teaching to Job is that we ought to humble ourselves as we consider the fact that the Lord has power over all things. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Any questions or comments on the teaching?
Amen. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen. Amen, sister. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to go to, if there were any prayer requests that someone had before we close.
Let's see. Oh, yes. Just one more prayer request. Yes. Air conditioner went out again upstairs.
Okay.
We need God to just direct us on. We got to get it repaired. I mean, Alicia's been very patient, but it went down, shut down yesterday. So no upstairs air condition.
Okay.
And also for the upcoming wedding and baby shower.
Oh, yeah. That's next week.
Yes.
This next week. So, church, I won't be here next week. Brother Bill's going to be bringing the word. Brother Bill's going to be bringing the word. I will set Bill and my wife as, what do you call them? Co-hosts or whatever. Co-hosts. And they're going to, make sure. So if anything goes wrong next week, it's not me. No. I'm going to try and get everything set well so that everything is set up. But I'm going to be marrying somebody next week. I'm going to be marrying.
Praise the Lord.
But it's going to go well. Gonna go well. God's with us. Amen. Pray for this AC. Amen. And this wedding. Father, Lord, we thank you that you go before us in all things.
Yes, amen.
Lord, before we got to where we are, you were already there.
Amen.
Lord, your goodness, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Lord, we pray,
oh God, for things not known as yet. Lord, we pray that this system would be able to be repaired. We pray, Lord, that it would be, Lord, they would be able to get it up and running. Lord, they would cool yet again. Father, we know,
yes,
Lord, that in all things, you have already made provision for us
before
we get to where we are. So we thank you for the provision.
Yes.
In whatever form it may take. Either they get this up running or they replace it with the new or whatever they might do. Father, we thank you that all of the provision comes from you.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you then, Lord, that you've gone before kindred in this wedding. Lord, this marriage. Lord, oh God, as you blessed it in Cana of Galilee with your presence, yeah. God, Father, we pray. Thank you that you've gone before us, Lord, next week.
Yeah.
Thank you, oh God, that they're going to be wed in holy matrimony. And the blessing of the Lord that makes ritual will rest upon it, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. Adds no sorrow. Father, we pray, oh Lord, for this union for the Lord, that it will continue, oh God, and that the fruit will come from this union, oh God, the children, that you would bless them with the arrows of the quiver, oh God, Lord, that they would know and be blessed with it and rejoice in their union all their days, oh God.
That's right.
Lord, we pray, Lord, that it would be marked, Lord, by your presence, oh God, and that both families, oh God, would be touched in a mighty way.
Yes.
Father, thank you for all these things, for all of your mercies that wash over us each and every day. In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, everyone. God bless your the balance of Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
See you next week.
Yeah. Yes.
Have a good one.